Perfect timing, Don. My cough drop just finished and dissolved, so it's perfect timing. Amazing how that works. If you would, if you'd like to follow along, we'll be in the book of Jeremiah tonight. Again, if some of you that have not been here the last couple of weeks, we have started looking through the book of Jeremiah. It is not a verse-by-verse study. It is a look at some verses that have stood out to me. If you were doing this, you would be choosing different verses. I guarantee you, Dick could follow me, and he'd have verses that, there again, would probably hit a few of the same. But, you know, it's just some verses that have really stood out to me. And it's not just for Jeremiah's time. These verses, 99% of them are as much for us today as it was written, as it was during Jeremiah's time. We'll be starting today in chapter 15, verses 19 through 21. And it says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord." And I just want to pause there real quick. It just reminded me of Preston's class this morning, one of the questions. And Don was saying how, you know, it came in a vision and it was from the Lord. Thus says the Lord. This is not Jeremiah saying it. This is from the Lord. And it says, "If you return, then I will bring you back. You shall stand before me if you take out the precious from the vial. You shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified bronze wall, and they will fight against you. But they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible." There are two main things that I see in this short passage. It is a call for repentance, and it is a promise of reassurance. This is God to us every day that we've turned our back on Him. If you return, then I will bring you back. God wants us, when we stray, when we sin, He wants us to return. He's not sitting there gleefully looking for us to stumble. Aha, I gotcha. If you return, then I will bring you back. That's a call of repentance. And you will stand before me if you take the precious from the vial. The precious and the vial cannot blend. They cannot mix. They become one or the other. You can't be precious in the vial. Either they're going to corrupt you, or you will influence them and they will become precious. But you can't have both. And he says, but you must let them return to you. And here's the promise of reassurance that I'm with you to save you, and I will deliver you. Sometimes we get in shadows, kind of the shadows of sin. And then sometimes we get in really, really dark places. And we wonder, does God even know? I wonder how many times did the Israelites during their captivity in Egypt wonder, does God even know we're here? We're enslaved. These people are tough taskmasters. Does God even know? Does he even care? And he told Moses on the mountain through the burning, he goes, I've heard their cry. I know their sorrow. I know. I will deliver you. I am with you, and I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked. That is as alive today as it was back then. Jumping to chapter 17. And I'm sure you could probably find all sorts of good verses in the rest of 15 and in chapter 16. In chapter 17, verses 5 through 8, starts out again, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Just pause here for a second before getting into the rest of it. God is telling you, the people that trust in men, they're cursed. We'll use a Las Vegas term, you've put your chips on the wrong number. You've bet on the wrong horse. Have you ever been hurt by man? People can lie to you. They can deceive you. They can let you down. We expect it out there. Some of the worst hurt I've ever had has been in the church, by people in the church. Because you don't expect it. You don't expect that. But not only the trusts in other people, but when we put trust in ourselves. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. We're frail. We're going to stumble. We're not always going to be young and strong. Our bodies will fail us. Age. I was watching I don't know if it's YouTube or a commercial or something. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, not a basketball fan, but I was watching Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and he was saying age was the great equalizer of us all. No matter how, and he was one of the greatest basketball players of all time. And now he's older, he's got some physical limitations. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. When we put our trust in ourselves, the physical man, that's going to end. When we put ourselves in the strength of us, we're going to stumble. When we put our confidence in somebody else, they're going to let us down. But we can always trust the Lord. He goes on and says, and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. We got to trust in God. That's where we put our trust. Goes on to say, for he will be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Write the opposite of what he said in verse 5. Don't trust in man. There's too many pitfalls. There's too many filters for it to fall through. Trust in the Lord and put your hope in the Lord. And this hope is not a wishful thinking hope. The hope that Don's hoping that the Detroit Lions will win. Not that hope, a confident hope in the Lord. That's confidence. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when he comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Reminds me very similar to Psalms chapter 1. There's a passage, I want to say around 3 or 4, that is very similar to this, about the strength of a tree planted by rivers whose roots go deep. That's the strength that the Lord delivers us. That's the strength that we get from following God. In chapter 18, starting in verse 1, it says, the word which came to Jeremiah from his own mind, hearsay from somebody else, a vision in the sky, no, from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord, look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. God, the potter, has made us into a different vessel than we used to be. We used to not be the way we are today. There was a time in our life that we were alien sinners, and we were changed. Well, what's that I think, who was it mentioning it today? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, where Paul goes through a whole list of abominations to God. And he declares, these will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And some were such as you. But he's changed us. The great potter that can make the end result however we want. Haven't we been marred? Haven't we had flaws in our life? And God has changed us. We've allowed it to be changed. But like clay, we need to be malleable. We need to be moldable. There's a big difference, and so many things of religion, I go back to coaching. There's a difference in athletic ability and being coachable. Huge difference. You can be athletic, and if you're not coachable, you will only stay as good as you are. At the hand of the potter, we can become a great vessel if we're willing to be molded. In chapter 20, in verse 7, it reads, "O Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I, and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted, 'Violence, plunder!' Because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, 'I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name.' But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." I look at this passage, and I was thinking, I don't remember if it was this morning or last week, I think it was last week in Preston's class, about some of the things that the prophets endured. You know, a lot of times we think of the prophets in the Old Testament, like Moses. I mean, they were great men of God. They didn't always have an easy path at it. Jeremiah said, "Everybody mocks me. You know, I had reproach and derision daily." Then it went through his mind, "I'll just shut my mouth. I'll just be quiet. I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more of his name. That will stop the problem." And he realized, his words in my heart like a burning fire. I can't shut up. I think of what Paul said, where he says, "Woe is me if I don't preach." Jeremiah couldn't have no more kept his mouth shut than nothing. He had to do. It was inside of him to do God's will. And he says, "And I could not." I'd like to finish up tonight with a passage from the New Testament talking about the old, Hebrews 11, where it talks about the prophets. Hebrews 11 is that what we have titled the great chapter of faith. You know, the hall of faith, faithful that have done this and that and are remembered, and their legacy is with us today. They are long gone, but they still speak to us today and encourage us and teach us. That's the thing about God's word. It's written so long ago, but it's as alive and well as if it was written today. And starting in verse 32, toward the end of all of these great men of faith demonstrating and describing what they had done, the Hebrew writer says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. And again, God has used a lot of very unlikely subjects to be his prophets in many cases. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Some pretty powerful people so far in the passage. Victorious on the winning side. Women received their dead raised to life again. So far, so good. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings. What did we just see Jeremiah talking about? You know, daily I'm mocked. Others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Who wants to be a prophet? It's kind of makes you wonder why some people got down on themselves. They were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute. I think of John the Baptist. He was a prophet. Going around in camel skin and eating honey and locusts and all that, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. The message they had, the people weren't worthy because they didn't want it. Many of them were many of their words were rejected. They were killed for it. Of whom the world was not worthy. That same world that God so loved that he sent his only begotten son. He had sent the prophets who were tortured, rejected, mocked, wandered around in sheepskins, wandered in the deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. What was it Jesus said? Foxes have holes and the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. God so loved this world that was not worthy of them. He sent his own son to die for. That first verse we looked at, one of repentance, a call of repentance, and a promise of reassurance. That's the same thing God gives us today. He wants us to repent, and he reassures us that he loves us. And if we ever doubt that love, all we have to do is think of the cross. That's where we're going to stop tonight. We will pick up next time. I think I've got a Sunday next month. we will pick up with this. I have loved and still am studying Jeremiah. I hope some of these verses strike a chord with you. Next week is our last Sunday of the month. We'll have our singing and scripture service. I tell you, with the weather like this, it might be a good chili and soup and stuff night next month. So get your best chili recipes out and your soup recipes. That sounds good for next week. If you need to respond to the invitation, the offer is always open. God is always open for us to repent. If there's anything we can do for you, as Kurt leads us in the invitation. Oh, no, Don's singing. As we sing the invitation, come forward and we will address your needs. Let's stand and sing.